I remain aware. Mindful. Questions in silence. Something must have come out. What I'd like you to do, if you could, is just in one sentence, and again, very softly spoken, with people next to you, in one sentence, say what you. Any insight you gain from these questions, anything that came up about God in these questions as you were reflecting on them. I was going to say one word originally, but I think that's maybe too short. Or, you know, you don't have to give the answer verbally. I don't mean sing and dance at that moment, but you can maybe give it through your eyes, but the mouth might be easier. So just one sentence of any insight, anything that clicked for you, anything that became clearer through you reflecting on these questions. Just one sentence. And one sentence can be four words. It doesn't have to be long, very long. Okay? So I give you one sentence. I give you 1 or 2 minutes. Okay, so you can start silently, if you can. Okay. Om Shanti. So, would some of you like to say what the other person said? In one word. Battery. Battery. Energy. Yes. Now, just in a word, what the other person's key idea or key insight was. Incorporeal. Truth, tenderness, purity, embodiment of peace, love, unconditional love, yes, bestower, giver, companion, blissful. Eternal relation. Mercy, mercy. Loyal. Unlimited. Purity. Security, yeah. Accessibility, full of love. You really had all these experiences? Really? Oh, good. Good. Yes, because sometimes, you know, this is the whole thing that I find, is that a word that I've heard before or seen before or used before, sometimes just with the right positioning of inner silence, a whole new feeling or perspective comes up, isn't it? Have you remember those toys, a kaleidoscope? You know, it's one picture, but as soon as you just a fraction of a second turned it, then, you know, you get something else. And if we use silence and reflection in the right way, then our journey in terms of experiential journey will always be adventurous. Adventurous soul never gets bored. But my intellect has to work for this. And the goal or the destination of the intellect is the heart. It's not, you know, you see, when my intellect starts to work properly through reflection and silence, then it's like I open myself much more to the original pure feelings of the soul, of the self. And, of course, much more to connecting with Baba's original sanskaras. You know, God has sanskaras. Yoga is to connect with those sanskaras. Inheritance, I'm inheriting the sanskaras of the soul who remains, you know, totally intact for all eternity. That's my inheritance. His sanskaras of purity, of love, in their absolute unconditional form. Only God is unconditional. Human beings use it a lot, this word, and they use it in all this, you know, New Age stuff, yeah? And, you know, unconditional love. You know, no human being is capable of that. They can be capable of love, they can be capable of respect, they can be capable of kindness, they can be capable of goodness. But it's only, you know, really God at this point in the drama that can be the embodiment of the unconditional, because he doesn't need. God is not conditioned by any needs. We are conditioned by needs. That's what it means to be body conscious. The need of the ego to show itself, to be valued, to be appreciated. You know, the need of attachments to find security. The need of greed to feel they have, you know, enough. But, you know, there are many needs. So we all ourselves like natural things, genuine things, real things, but you see, only Baba's sanskars are like that. Only God's sanskars are like that. You know, he's Shiva, Zero, the benevolent. Only he is in this unconditional state. He's not only bodiless and viceless and egoless, he's also needless. In the sense that he doesn't have needs. And so when we are having yoga, remembrance, you know, again, we're going to the natural world, to the natural being, and we can return to that natural state again. And you'll find that Baba's roles, you know, there's relationships and roles. The roles that Baba plays with us, it's got to do often with bringing out the best and purifying. Whether, you know, these roles, this is what they do. A lot of his roles. We'll have a look at a few in a moment. But when we speak of inheritance, you know, we speak of like Satyuga, the golden age is the inheritance. But where does it all begin, the inheritance? Where's the starting point? It is Shiva's sanskaras. That's the starting point, that's the reference point, that's the unconditional point, that's the true point for the whole circuit of the new cycle to begin. And that's only him. And Brahma Baba aligned himself to that completely. This is what we call surrender. Aligning yourself with the unconditional, with the pure. Because there's simply no use in aligning the self with anything else. It just is not useful. We cannot align ourselves with no ego or attachment or things like that. And it's, you know, again, not a matter of battling with them. The more there is the feeling of fulfillment in the relationship with God, the more there is that love, the less I will have to labor and process. See, God is totally unprocessed. So, you know, He is what He is, inside, outside. And He's given us some very clear information about Himself. Now it's up to me to reflect on it deeply, to cultivate that relationship. It's not to develop it so much, but cultivate it, you know, keep it fresh, keep it alive. You've got to cultivate it like a gardener. Has to cultivate. The trees may be there 50 years, but he still has to chop around them and give them fertilizer and look at the insects and things like that. And this is a very important word, I feel, anyway, in fulfilling our, you know, feeling fulfilled in our relationship with Baba, is how good are we as cultivators? How do we cultivate this daily garden of joy and happiness and peace? If I do not cultivate daily, I will not get those fruits. That's how it is. You know? Insects come in all kinds of forms. And the worst insect that attracts sometimes is that insect of artificiality, and its sister, has a sister, superficiality. Twins, actually. Artificiality, superficiality. And sometimes we can fall into that trap because it's simply more comfortable. It's comfortable. To be real, to be true, everybody likes these words, but you know, to really be there is another thing. You know, I mean, it's not a matter of liking the concept. It's a beginning. But then to take out the artificiality that is in me. You know, how do you can tell about artificiality? You know, anger, fear, hopeless, no self-esteem. There's something artificial there. Okay, we need to understand those mechanisms, but, you know, if I can link properly with the unconditional one, then I get everything I need. And of course what I need to do is understand how to actually do it properly. So one of the things that we can, in order to get new experiences, is actually to it's good that we can choose either either a new role of God that we had not thought about before, or a role or relationship we cannot seem to deepen nor quite understand. So sometimes, you know, we use the relationship with Baba as beloved or as father. It's nice enough, but it's not so deep always. Whatever it may be. Or sometimes other ones that we've not really, really churned about, like alchemist, herbalist. Baba as the herbalist. What herbs does he use? Mint, lavender, gardener, surgeon, we don't often churn too much about surgery, sacred surgery, but it's very effective. He doesn't actually use a cutting instrument, you know, like the modern surgery, they use laser. So Baba uses, you know, the sakash is laser. It goes in, burns it away, puts it right. But you have to be very surrendered, you know, and trust the surgeon for that. Sat Sri Akal, the truth, the elevated one, the immortal one. Very beautiful title. I remember what, one of the things that moved me a lot when I came to Gyan. I was very, very new. And I remember going to the brother's house. I mean, like really new, like 1 month. And opening this book, and there was the experiences of Brijendra. She spoke about them. Later I interviewed her once, and I asked her about it. And she was telling me, I mean, I won't go into details now, but she's, one of the things she was saying that when God introduced himself, he said, you know, you know, I am the blissful self, you know, I am Shiva, I am Shiva, I am the the uncreated self, I am Shiva, I am Shiva, I am the luminous self, I am Shiva, I am Shiva. And I remember just sort of reading that, when I remember reading it, and I was away, you know, I am not... my intellect doesn't allow me to get into trance and visions and things. It's not my style. But that one time, I remember reading this, and you know, this I am, you know, I am the luminous self. I am Shiva. I am Shiva. I am the uncreated self. I am Shiva. Yeah, I thought, yeah. I thought, what an introduction. All I am. Like, eternally in the present. And then I thought, that's what eternity is, to be always in the present. There's no past or future, because there's no processes in your being. I thought, you know, God, yes. And I remember just sitting there and just so absorbed. And some of the brothers came by and made jokes, you know. Oh, here he goes. Thinks he, you know, thinks he's on a high, having a vision maybe. Because, yeah, I just remember couldn't move, yeah. But this was extremely unusual. It was the only time it ever happened in 36 years. So it's not that it's a common thing. But realizing that actually the words are carrying a vibration. And when you go behind that, you know, it's like it pulls you into an experience. So it's not... the word is, it's like the body, there's, you know, the soul in the body, the soul is hidden. It's the spirit in those words. And that spirit is hidden. But if you're sort of, if you're concentrated, you can catch the spirit of those words and experience them. So when Baba says, you know, Sat Sri Akal, the true one, his truth. He's knowledgeable, but he is truth. His being is truth, it's clean, it's clear, it's natural. And Sri, elevated. Akal, the immortal. And there are many other ones, you know, many other ones as well. So, you know, when we wish for new experiences in our relationship with Baba, yes, we need to cultivate through reflection. And also the way we think. That... I have to think with a lot more silence in my mind. There's not intellect or my mind. Because silence creates space. Silence creates perspective. Silence slows things down. So that silence in the mind and intellect facilitates a natural concentration. But you know, I need to choose. I mentioned those relationships, but there may be others. And to have an adventure once in a while. I mean, not, you know, okay, I have to churn this now. You know, it's not just I have to churn, it's I want something, you know, I like new things. And so we get back now to this way of thinking, the formula thinking, reflective thinking and contemplative thinking. Formula thinking is what most people do. The problem with formula thinking is there's a tremendous amount of deception. It's both self-deception and collective deception. In Greece, and I'm sure in politics, you know, what do they talk about all the time? Honesty, integrity, we're going to help the people, well-being, all right? It's totally opposite. Totally opposite. So formula thinking is that the formulas are right, that the idea is correct, but it's never practiced, or never practiced fully. And so, but the person, by using these formulas and ideas, self-deceives that they think they have them. They think they are doing it. And this is extremely dangerous on a spiritual path. Because where there tends to be formula thinking, behavior doesn't change. And the fact that it's hypocritical, what another word for this is called hypocrisy, is that there's a lot of violence in that person and in that society. A lot of disrespect. So they will kill in the name of God. They will kill an idea, and kill maybe not always physically, you know, belittling, damaging, insulting, maligning, lying, lots of things. There cannot be the truth in anything if there's any type of violence and hypocrisy, you know, on whatever level it may be. So, and the world now is so full of formula thinking, it has become extremely artificial. And when something is artificial, it's very fragile. Fragile means, and Baba has been saying it, the unexpected can happen in any second. You've read about these people that go on killing rampages. They say, oh, they were reclusive, or they were nice people. What happened? It just takes one thought. When something is very weak, just one thing can make it all go off, you know, off balance completely. Because if something is strong, even if there's a weak point or something wrong happens, they're able to adjust to it. But because the world is full of this formula thinking, you know, everybody talks about values. Who doesn't talk about love, for example? But, you know, how can there be love if there's criticism and bad feeling and competition and comparison? Is there love? Where is it? And all these songs, you know, love you, love that, love the other, you know. Why did you cheat me, and why this and why that, you know. And, I mean, it's all false. You know, Baba's not exaggerating. Sometimes you think, oh, he's exaggerating a bit, you know, the world is false, the thing is false, it's a graveyard. Actually, it is. It is. Because when you can see beyond the appearances, you see, not only it's artificial, but it's rotten. Rotten. And the thing, when something is rotten, means that they try to cover it up. This is what corruption is. And the way that people cover up corruption is formula thinking. and false actions. They may do actions that appear good but are actually catastrophic. War propaganda is based on this formula thinking. So how about us then? Okay, the world is what it is. What about for me? Am I a formula thinker? We must be to some extent. But remember, the formula is correct in itself. You know, when people say things, you know, like equality and brotherhood and inclusivity, they're correct. But the whole thing with spirituality is it must be alive, must be working. And, you know, people may say Om Shanti, but they're anything but, depending on the day. People sometimes comment to me and says, you know, this teacher's, you know, they give positive thought courses, but they're not so positive. They talk about being peaceful, but we see them get angry or irritated quite often. See, that means I'm a formula thinking. I say the right things, but when it comes to my practical life, it's not integrated. And it's no use looking at anybody else. I mean, yes, I can see it in someone and I just have that discernment. But in myself, I have to see. In myself. Because you see, the state of the self will determine how I relate also to God. You know, I find the cultures that think of God as very severe, very harsh, very this, usually find that that culture is like that. You know, they project it. You know, this is what the early psychologists, you know, they talked about religion. You know, that some said it was the opium of the people. Others said God is simply a projection of the human need. But of course, you know, it's partially true, but it's not completely true. Because there is a divine reference point. There is Baba. This is why Baba had to come and reveal himself, because they were getting it all wrong. Even good people were getting it wrong. So he had to say something. You know, look, I don't punish, I don't do this, I don't do that. You know, understand these laws, understand that. But in terms of my personal fulfilling relationship with Baba, you know, I've got to also start to think more reflectively with myself in terms of my own dana, but also with Baba, and, you know, understanding him in different ways and deeper ways. So if I have a code that I believe in, that is formulas, I have to check the gap that there is in my daily life. You know, because if I don't see that there is some gap, I'm going to be more formula and more formula. And what do we call this? We call this being dogmatic. People that become dogmatic and fanatic, or very, you know, in Brahma say very Srimati, they, you know, they're the ones that don't build that bridge between the code and the personal reality. Where am I at? It's a very, you know, that requires solitude. It requires two things, I think. You know, honest introspection, but also a deep, deep respect for the self. I will want to be honest because, you know, I have a respect for myself in such a way that I don't want to be false to me. I don't want to be hypocritical to myself. When I say love, I want to mean that. That's what it should be. That's where it should be meaningful. But often it's, you know, we say many words, sometimes they're quite meaningless. This is why Baba was saying it's not lectures and words anymore. It's attitude. It's what's in your mind that's going to create the atmosphere. Now, have I started that? How do I start it? I've got to see, the code and the actual practice in myself. But what I am is always reflected in my behavior and my state of mind. It's always reflected there. No matter what I say, oh, I feel great, that's great, oh, I'm good, yeah. You know, that's on Monday. Wednesday, I looked as though I've walked into a train, you know. This is what Baba means by dharana. Dharana is bridging. So reflective thought. Reflective thought is when I start to see things in a different way, I start to go deeper. Reflective thought. You know, this progress, advance happens through reflective thought. Science is a good example of reflective thought. You know, the first computer was huge. Now we have these little things that we carry on. But it was reflection. Reflection refines. You know, when something is very refined, I always find it smaller, quicker and lighter. These are the three characteristics of a very refined thing. It can be the mind, it can be even a machine. Smaller, lighter and quicker. Smaller means essenceful. But that's happened through reflection. So science reflects, medicine reflects, many things, you know. Human rights, you know, there's been a reflection on injustices. So they've reflected. And so we need that reflection to get insights, new insights that are beneficial. Because reflective thought should be bringing benefit. You know, real reflective thought. It may be a materialistic benefit, but it's very, you know, benefit. You know, when people now do this laser surgery, it's very beneficial because it's less invasive, lots of things can happen that are much less a strain on the physical body. But again, okay, how now to spiritual, on the spiritual journey? Reflection again is again very useful. We call it churning, getting the butter from the milk. Churning and reflection is basically the same thing. And it's deeper thought, less thought, getting to the essence. And the point is that then with the reflection, I have to know when to stop. Because what can happen is I can just keep, you know, just reflecting, just thinking, and then maybe discussion. It may be very useful, but there's a point where it has to stop and start to be practiced. You know, people either don't practice at all, or they practice the same things over and over again, or they will practice with new insight. And that's very beneficial. But the problem with reflective thinking, that is churning, is that if you don't have enough silence inside, it can start to become very clever analysis of things. You know, some souls are very good in their clever analysis, even of Gyan. It is very impressive. But, you know, it's not quite sitting in them. So what happens when you have reflection without silence and without action is that actually you can develop understanding, but you don't get experience because there's not the stopping and the silence, which is what we call contemplative thinking. Contemplative thought is it's very slowed down, and there's a lot of silence in it, and you're absorbed in that thought, in that idea. Actually, you don't think in contemplative thought. It's actually beyond thinking. It's more awareness.
and therefore experience. And so, you know, but again, we start with formulas, we have to. You know, Baba says Om Shanti, right? It's true. Then I reflect on it, and then I contemplate it. And
русская трансляция 94.3.
And then, when I contemplate it, when I slow down, it really then starts to become my experience, and that experience is the foundation of my life, of my spiritual life. Then, you know, I never have to say God, I don't have to say soul, I don't have to say peace. I am that, and it flows from me. That is the service. But you know, that state of the contemplation requires that state of silence, which Baba sometimes calls this deep tapasya or remembrance. There are different names for it. But basically what it is this complete, gentle, surrendered, absorbed concentration. Absorbed, gentle concentration. It's the ability of the mind and the intellect, you know, like between two fingers, or able to hold the thought, not analyzing the thought anymore, not refining the thought anymore, just holding it between the two fingers of the mind and intellect, and then just being absorbed in it. And that is the awareness. So, I am. Om Shanti. I am peace. I am love. I am truth. This is why God can say it. Baba doesn't say, you know, I'm going to be peaceful when the confluence age is over. I've never heard him say this. Oh, last kalpa, it was easier. Doesn't say this. Or even, you know, 3 years ago, you know, students were different things. He doesn't say these things. He talks from what he is, and that's the I am consciousness. Baba is always in that consciousness. That's what makes him God, pure, unconditional, always true to himself. That's the I am. But for us, as human beings, as souls within the drama, we have to return back to that state. And so when we think of a quality of Baba, what is, if you go through these processes, you know, of reflecting but then coming into contemplation and holding and just being there. You see, people often find it difficult to concentrate or to contemplate. And the reason is because they haven't done some deep reflection first. You see, everything has a point where it has to stop and you have to begin a new thing. So, reflection is good, but if I don't stop and be concentrated, I just keep reflecting and reflecting. It's like in science, because it's not spiritual, they just keep refining and new iPads and new this and new that, and it becomes quite wasteful after a while, a waste of a lot of money. The aim is money, it's not really communication after a while. So the same way for myself, when I think of Baba and I think of, you know, I always, you know, for example, alchemist, you know, divine alchemy. Baba speaks of Sakash. And the divine alchemy is not iron to gold, but iron to diamond. Quite a different thing. And what is the Sakash of God? You know, in Western sometimes we say grace. I mean, you can say Sakash, you can say Drishti, but it's a divine energy that gives you a very special gift. Usually people think that grace is not what you really merit, it's given as a gift from God to assist you. Alchemy, divine alchemy. I mean, this is just one reflection. You know, one can make one's own reflections on things in other ways. But what happens is the intellect tends to be a little lazy. When the intellect's lazy, it gets involved in action a lot. It doesn't sound like it, you know, it goes together, laziness and being over-involved, but it is. You see, if I'm active and alert, the sign of being really active, of being really a karma yogi, is to be able to have a distance. And, you know, when we get entangled in action, of course we're going to forget even the intention of doing that action. Why am I doing this? And where is Baba? You know, fulfilling relationship is not just meaningfulness and relevance, but also presence. That God is present with me, Baba is present with me, Bab Dada, you know, especially in service, but in my life. And we do get these experiences, not we don't get them, of course we get them. But they are not sustained, actually. You know, sustainability is a big issue now, but you know, the biggest thing that requires sustainability is our spirituality. And this is why I have to have more contemplative intellect, more silence in my intellect. Otherwise, I will substitute it for endless activity, endless service. So Baba is very encouraged, says, yes, what service we have been doing is good, great, but move now to another level. And so I was thinking, you know, we can make this experiment ourselves. Choose a role from Baba. Can be the, you know, the goldsmith, the diamond cutter, the postman. Something different, you know. Or, yes, it can be mother, father, friend, and go into it more deeply. But sometimes, you know, when you stimulate one role, you know, many other things get stimulated automatically. So, before I go on to the next part, are there any questions about this? Any clarifications you would like to have? Because now we see how we apply it now. Reflection and contemplation. Stillness. You see, we miss, you know, aware. When I'm aware, I am that and I'm very still. There's no energy expended. It's not lost. And I am separate from the action I'm performing. I'm not my action. I'm separate from it. And so there's no desires in it. Karma yoga. So any question on that? So to start reflection, which then gets into contemplation or deep remembrance. I mean, there's many levels, because I mean deep remembrance then can become tapasya, that fire where things are purified. You see, this is the whole thing of love and connection. That the rust and the other things can be dissolved. I don't have to battle every single sanskara, you know. I don't have to battle every single pollution. I need to be aware of them, you know, I've got to kind of acknowledge it, but I don't have to get into boxing. So, like it, sometimes we get over-involved in action, we get over-involved in maya. You know, some say, look, I have to be honest. You know, so they think they're being honest. But, you know, I've got to keep detachment. Then I can deal with the things. Plus purification and being liberated is not up to me. You know, Baba came for this job. You know, if we don't let him do it, he's jobless, you know. He came for this work. So I've got to allow that to happen. Yes, it's a partnership. I've got to also be responsible. But sometimes if you're over-responsible, you put it all on your own head. Oh, I have to be purified of this. I have to be related from this sanskara. The boss says, yeah, take it easy. Yeah, okay. Okay, take it easy. Take it easy. Connect. Connect. And Baba says, you know, I assist you in that. That's why I'm here, to assist. I'm available for this. But remember, it does begin with intellect. Not that I become intellectual, but remember, everything does begin with understanding and ends with experience and empowerment. So, let's say I choose a role. Herbalist? Whatever you like. You choose a role? Of Baba's? There are many, you know, there are many. I mean, you can make one up too. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to say what it is, but inside yourself, think of something. Comforter of hearts, yes, yeah. Comforter of hearts, postman. You ever thought of Baba as the postman? Insurance broker, agent, washerman. Yeah, in the West it's not such a popular term because we have washing machines. Yeah, well, yeah, it's a thing. Pardon? Lord, Baba says, I am your server, I'm serving you. But you know, for example, a server will only serve and be loyal from their heart if you treat them properly. If you don't treat them properly, they may still do some serving, but it's not from their heart. I can't hear. Yeah, but okay, but that's not its role, is it? What's the role? Borg maker? He's not. We are the Borg. We make the Borgs. That's the result. A role means something active. He's doing something active. Gardener, boatman, magician. Yeah, pulls the rabbits out of the hat. Director of? Traffic, yeah. Director. Traffic, policeman. Think of an active some role. Make it new. You know, this is the whole thing that I can't hear actually. Dharamraj. Yeah, if that takes your fancy, yes. But even if you do reflect on Dharamraj, you know, the king of that which is right, which is naturally right, that's what it means. So he keeps the order and the balance. You know, and so it's not the actual, it's the one who gives the realization of the natural order, the king of the, of, you know, Dharam, you know, that which is right. And so he gives the realization to the soul, but actually it's the karmic effect from the actions that then hits the soul. It's not Baba that, does it. He just provides. And Dharamraj, see, again, understanding, Dharamraj provides the mirror for the soul to be released from its own self, that it can't do it. Because otherwise it couldn't go back into a world of peace and come into the world of happiness. You've always got to see God very positively. Because if you don't, if you see him in any human way, you know, you deserve what you get. You know, I know there's also in religion there's this, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, all that type of thing. Yes, there is the return of karma, definitely. But Baba doesn't work according to karma now. You know, he works according to love. He works according to effort of, well, not even the effort of the soul. Baba says, I'm still merciful to all the souls. But there's a point where it's beyond his power. It's beyond his power. It's the drama that kicks in. Says, no, God, here you've been enough. The school has been open enough. Time for closing. Got to start the new cycle. Yeah? So let me contemplate, reflect and contemplate these deep truths. Remember, truth is always uplifting and liberating. If you don't feel uplifted and liberated, well, maybe, you know, the buffalo intellect is working still. But I haven't understood it properly. Truth is always uplifting and liberating. But yes, sometimes my understanding of it is not quite right. This is why I need reflection and silence, contemplative silence. Silence. And you know, in that space, where, haven't you felt this sometimes? That space where you're just very still and quiet, you get recharged anyway. There's that deep serenity, not just peace, but serenity. It may or it may not happen, you know, a thought comes, the right thought comes of what, you know, I need to do or understand. May not, but doesn't matter. But we need to get often into that space, to that space of stillness and quiet, that space of serenity, of peace. And that's more contemplative. And I'm not, you see, when I'm in a contemplative state, I'm not in a rush to understand something. I'm not in a rush to have an experience. I don't, wait for the big, you know, lightning bolt. I'm just cool. I naturally become detached. I naturally become the observer. I naturally feel complete. It is really a basic thing, completeness. God, one reason why Baba is Baba, he's complete. He doesn't need additions to his being. Deities are like that. Although they relate and have relationships, they don't need additions. We always need additions. That's why sometimes we rush and run, even after service. You know, I mean, I'm not my service. I am my qualities. And those true qualities will do the service. It's not my, cleverness or impressive tongue or skillful organization that really does the service. It's necessary, it can be very useful, but the real service is done by the purity, the authenticity of the qualities that reflect God. And that's how people will know God, through you. That's what Baba says. The reflection of the authenticity of, you know, the stuff, let's say, of real human fulfillment, which is that love, that happiness, etc. Okay, so people ask, how do we start contemplation reflection. So, step one is really silent inner quiet. Get into this space. This may sound very basic to some, but I know the majority don't do it. To really make that conscious decision to go into a silent inner space, just to be quiet, silent, detached. And then after choosing that role, now choosing a particular role from Baba, start to reflect with questions. Reflection begins with questions. How would I define whatever it is, you know, postman, herbalist, how would I define it? And again, reflect on it, contemplate on it, no rushing. What are its characteristics? What are the characteristics of the role that I have defined? And list 5 or 6. Sometimes when we do the exercise, the people would do 10. They have to list 10, so it stretches. It stretches their capacity of depth. But I thought just 5 or 6 is enough. And then C, speak, think, feel Baba in the second person. Converse, you are my, you give these qualities to me. You know, you are not in the third person, you know, he or she or it or whatever. In the second person, it's much more personal. You know, you are the garbage collector. You know, you are the diamond cutter. You have this or that. You know, well, when I talk of you are the alchemist, you know, you give me, you know, you're sending me. I'm receiving this holy energy that is like a metamorphosis, not just a change. It's I return to something different through this. Yeah? So you don't just, you know, reflect abstractly. You link it to Baba. And then you can select something and just hold it, contemplate it. Contemplate an ideal characteristic of it. You know, like we said, contemplate is to hold the thought. For example, Baba, the alchemist, holy energy. It could be other things. Holy energy. Hold it. And when I hold it in the intellect is silent and plain. I'm not thinking or being pulled into other things. So to gently concentrate on it, contemplate it, you get absorbed in it, alchemy, you know, divine alchemy. I start to get, you know, I've done the reflection, so it's easy to concentrate. If I've done reflection, it's easier, you know, to concentrate. We can't concentrate because then we have not prepared, you know, that. Like anything, if you don't prepare it, it doesn't work out usually. So, and then you hold it, and I'm in that awareness. So it's Baba as the Divine Mother, you know. I've contemplated it, the Divine Mother, the Eternal Feminine of God. And what does, you know, kindness, nourishment, or the Eternal Masculine of God, you know. The divine masculine. You know, all of us have the both anyway. Eh? It's not a, you know, these are principles. So God, the Supreme Soul, has these principles also. You know, as the, you know, the number one, as the creator, the one who recreates, he uses that masculine principle to start the creation. He gives it a boost. He does something. In relationship to Brahma Baba, is the, you know, more the masculine principle. Brahma Baba plays the role of the feminine principle in relationship to God. Baba says, oh, you're my wife. Why would he say this? Because Brahma receives, he digests, he makes it grow inside him, the knowledge, he works on it. So, you know, these things are just, you know, they make us aware. So we will now do something like this. We take a particular role. We follow these steps. There's not a lot of time, but we'll do it. And then, you know, try that particular role that you'd choose from Baba. In the evening tonight in meditation, go into it. You can do both. Reflect a bit, but then contemplate, hold it. And then in Amrit Vela. Amrit Vela. And I was thinking then tomorrow morning, when we start our session, 2 or 3 people can share their experience. But you won't share the experience through explanation. The experience will be doing a commentary and actually giving and sharing your experience, not explaining your experience, giving your experience. Any volunteers for that? Okay, one. Yes. But I mean, by that time maybe others are a bit more confident to do it. But because sometimes, you know, it's not you explain your experience, you've contemplated it. And then you're just sharing it through silence and some words. But the homework and the morning work, the Amrit Vela work, is to go more deeply into this role that you have taken. What do you, anyone here thought of any role of Baba they would like to refine more, contemplate more? Yes. No, what does it mean in English? The Lord of all life. Yes, a very good one. Yes, like sometimes Baba says, I'm the Lord of the morning. These ones are very nice, actually. Very, very nice. Because you can really go into it, you know. Any others? World benefactor, yes. The amazing psychotherapist. Psychotherapist. I thought you said cycle therapist. Psychotherapist. Moira? Surgeon. Yes. And this surgery, there's no blood. Any others? Herbalist, right? Herbalist. Businessman. The goldsmith, yeah, the goldsmith. The jeweler. Yes. How about the baker? No. Postman, yeah. There's no postman anymore. Gardener, yes. The trainer. You know, there's also God as the poet. You know, there's a title for Baba as the poet. Choreographer. Director. The Lord of Innocence, yes, the Lord of Innocence. Musician, entertainer, yes. Actor, detached observer. Well, whatever you can get out of it. But remember these steps, huh? How would I define it? Because this stimulates the intellect. How would I define it? What are its characteristics? And then speak to Baba in second person about this. And then just hold or contemplate an idea. And just get into the awareness. Okay, I'll do one now. Again, not so long, but I will do something. And then that can stimulate you for your own exercise. Because remember, this exercise is very, very useful. It's very useful. And then tomorrow morning, Amrit Vela, Pratibha, is it possible to do it here for those who want to? Oh, with me? Yes, why not? But there's some other people doing meditation here at that time, so I don't know if they've selected people to... If you can't, this evening, if we can't do it, yes. Because I know other people are using this in the morning, so that's why. But if we can, we'll say yes. And if it's we cannot, then we'll hear the announcement this evening. Otherwise, it's yes for now. Okay, so slow down. And just the first step, the one I have selected. Step one.
Actually, it's written.
So, I become quiet. I detach. I create a space of silence. I'm inward looking. And I begin my journey into understanding you, Baba, as the true alchemist. The true alchemist gives his energy to transform iron into diamond. This is the age of true alchemy. This is the time that is blessed with the miraculous, with the wonder of our eternal existence. Who I am. Begin to understand this divine alchemy. How it helps me to return to the original diamond within. Baba, you are the true eternal alchemist. Who transforms everything back. Returns. Makes all things return back to their original pure state. Your alchemy uplifts, liberates, dissolves all the rust. It's a grace making the impossible possible. Alchemy. The unconditional love from you. The unconditional, natural, genuine love from your heart. That dissolves away
the pollution. Let me now remain in silence. Connected, positioned. And I receive the unconditional from you. The alchemy of the deepest, most genuine care. Genuine care unconditional love unconditional care miracle the miracle of the time I return through you to my original state I remain concentrated I contemplate this miracle of return to the sacred, to the genuine. I return with you. Unconditional miracle Om Shanti.